I invite you to join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and we pray that this morning you might help each one of us to hear it clearly, that we might have ears to hear, just as Jesus says. Lord, please help me speak your word faithfully for each one of us to have ears, to hear soft hearts, to receive your word, that we might please you, and that we might honor you, and that we might be found in your kingdom on that day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are working our way through Matthew's Gospel, and it's the second week again through in Matthew 13, three sermons in Matthew 13. And we're up to a parable, actually three parables Jesus tells: weeds and wheat, mustard seed, and leaven in the dough. And look, this got me Googling things like madness during the week. And I wanted to know about these weeds and all the rest of it. I'm a city boy, so I don't really know much about wheat and weeds and farming and these sorts of things. But I did find out some really interesting things, at least interesting to me. Bearded darnel, for example. Anyone heard of that? Bearded darnel. Well, it's something that looks a lot like wheat and used to be all across Europe. Apparently, it got its start in the Middle East and in Palestine, and actually, some people argue that there was so much of this bearded darnel growing around Europe, bearded darnel, which is the host for this little fungus that grows on it, and if you were to mix it in with your bread, well, you could have a number of symptoms: vomiting, headaches, hallucinations, and inebriation. There's this theory that actually during the Middle Ages, just about everybody was in this kind of haze of inebriated state because of the bearded darnel. Well, it was interesting to me. Yeah, I used to like foraging, or at least I talked about foraging. You know what I mean by that? Okay, the dandelion root, people drink it in tea and all that sort of thing. Until someone told me, look, you don't know the difference between dandelion root and all of the other things. And are you really sure you want to be feeding that to your children? So I wisely decided, you know, maybe it's not a good thing. Actually, it wasn't me. It was my wife who said I shouldn't be feeding it to my children. I would have just gone on and done it. But this passage, it speaks clearly into this question, this issue that the world is facing, the church is facing, each one of us is going to face. It's the parable of the wheat and the weeds, and it raises some really uncomfortable truths. There's stuff that looks just like the real thing, but it's not. There's stuff that looks just like real thing, but it's really host to a toxic fungus that's going to do us harm in the end. The wheat and the weeds, and it's really terrifyingly black and white, the way Jesus tells it. But it's actually really good. Jesus' words are going to help us know what to do next. And so I pray that God will give us all ears to hear this morning what Jesus has to say about the wheat and the weeds. As I said, one of the really great things about studying this passage over the course of the week is I've learned some things about wheat and farming. And so every other time I've read this, I've gone, what's the big deal? I know when weeds are growing in my garden. I just choose not to pull them out, okay? I know what they look like, and I just do nothing about it. But surely you could be careful pulling weeds. But I'm feeling pretty good that after a bit of research, I know a little better. Likely, the word that we've translated as weed in the NIV is referring specifically to one of these two grasses up on the screen. One of them is wheat, and the other one is bearded darnel, right? Bearded darnel. Can you tell which one is which? Maybe you can. Maybe you can see that they're different, and maybe you know which one is which. But humor me for a moment. When you're seeing this, and you're going, okay, some of this is good, and some of this is the other stuff, I'm getting a bit nervous, and I'm thinking, well, which one is which, and what do we do? And you can appreciate that perhaps when they're young and growing, they just look like grass.
little bit by little bit, they begin to show exactly what they look like. And actually, at maturity, this is what they look like. At this point, we know which one looks like the cereal box of, you know, wheat, let's say, okay, and which one is the bearded darnel. Now we know. But before that moment, well, they're looking pretty similar. Which one's which? This is the basis of Jesus' parable. A man sows his field with good seed, and later an enemy comes and sows into the field, let's say, bearded darnel, while everyone is sleeping. First of all, how rude. I think that's pretty awful. My dad had a piece of land up in Crescent Head, which is in New South Wales, and he had a neighbor. Well, I can believe that this would happen. You know, he didn't sow bearded darnel into his crop that my dad didn't have. It was just a piece of land. No, he lit a fire, and the whole area burned. Thankfully, under God, the shack remained where my dad wasn't at that time, but God preserved that shack and his shed. Fantastic. But sounds like a nasty neighbor. Now, for a while, this bearded darnel that he sowed in the field is going to look exactly the same. It's just going to look like the wheat growing up. But here's what Jesus says: when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. And we saw that, didn't we? You know, the servants, I suppose, having been out there, maybe watering the field, they begin to notice something's different. Something's not quite right. There's some false wheat out here. And that's actually the name that they give to this bearded darnel. That's the colloquial name, is false wheat. It looks like wheat, but it's not. Better check with the owner with what to do. Well, the owner's servants come to him. They say, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" And the owner seems to know his neighbor very well. "An enemy did this. Well, what should we do? Should we go and pull them up?" The owner's concerned, though, about his wheat. I'll put it up on the screen again. Look at how similar they look. He said, "No, don't go and pull them up. If you go out there into this field, and I know you, you're going to look at it and you're not going to quite know which is which. You're going to pull out the weeds and you'll pull out the wheat along with them." Instead, the owner says, and I'll point out, "Look, this is wheat before it's fully ripe. And here is the bearded darnel or the tares or the weeds alongside them." He says, "No, wait. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I'll tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat into my barn. At the harvest time," again, I'll bring that other picture again, "you can see the difference. One definitely looks like wheat, one definitely looks like the tares, the weeds, the bearded darnel." He says, "At harvest time, find all of these, gather them up, bundle them up, throw them into the fire. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." All right, what's going on? What's going on? You know, this is one of those situations. I love it when Jesus tells us exactly what's going on, because otherwise we could make up all sorts of stuff, I'm sure. Well, in this parable, Jesus, he explains it. A little bit later, the disciples say, "Could you please explain this to us?" And Jesus says, this is what it means. The field, in verse 38, the field, he says, is the world. Okay, it's the world. This is what it is. And the good seed is the people of the kingdom, which the Son of Man sows. Now, the Son of Man, that is a title. It's a title that you can find in Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man comes to the Ancient of Days, and he receives a kingdom that will never end. And this kingdom has all nations under God actually worshiping the Son of Man. And Jesus is saying at the final time, the Son of Man is going to send his angels. The weeds, he says, are the seeds sown by the evil one, sown by the devil. And the harvest is at the end of the age. And what's going to happen, says Jesus, is at the end of the age, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, is going to send his angels, right? That's an angel, if you couldn't tell. Here we go. We'll do something like this. Just pretend with me. And they're going to go into the harvest field, and they're going to weed out of his kingdom whom? What? Everything that causes sin and all that do evil. And this is the confronting part of the story. Those, he says, are going to be thrown into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth. Is that not a really confronting image? I'm confronted by it. I mean, yes, the good news is that those who are of the kingdom, they're going to come into the kingdom of the Father, where they will shine like the sun. And that'll be exciting for them. But the reality is, there's some weeding that's going to happen. Well, a few things to say about this. First, the field is the world. The field is the world. Okay, Jesus says it in verse 38. This is a passage about the whole world. And God's kindness in being patient in reaching the time of judgment. Okay, Jesus is saying, I'm not going to go ahead and bring this judgment I'm talking about right now. Because there are many in the world that might appear to be weeds right now. Give it time. Let's wait and see what this harvest really looks like by their fruit. I mean, think about what this harvest would have looked like if Jesus sent the harvesters out into the world 2,000 years ago. And you're an ancient Israelite and you're looking at the Romans and you're thinking, are they wheat or weeds? Well, it's pretty clear they're weeds, right? Or you're thinking about the Greeks, are they wheat or weeds? Well, it's pretty clear they're weeds, right? I mean, you think about any nation under God, if we're thinking collectively, the majority of nations in the world would have been bundled up and thrown into the fire. But think about this. God has said, no, I want to wait. I want this harvest to come to full maturity. God has been kind in allowing time for the global harvest to reveal itself. You see, this is the reason Jesus told those other two parables in our passage. Did you notice? He starts with the parable of the weeds. He tells that story. And then he doesn't explain it, but instead Matthew records two other parables after that. The mustard seed and the leaven, right? Two shorter ones. And, you know, I puzzled with myself. Why do that? Why tell this one, then tell other two parables, and only then come back and explain the first one? Why sandwich them together? What's the connection? Well, I had some time to think about it, and here's what I think is going on. I think it's about the growth and size of the kingdom and why God, in his love, is waiting before the harvest. Think about it this way. When Jesus is saying these things to his disciples, I wonder how big they dreamt the kingdom could be. They might have been saying to each other, look, at the end of time, this kingdom that Jesus is talking about, this could be as big as all Israel. If we prayed hard enough and if we got out there and if we told everyone, this thing could be massive. But what is the kingdom like? And how big is the harvest? The kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's like a mustard seed. Mustard seeds are very small. How big does mustard grow? I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard plant, mustard bush, this sort of thing. How big does it grow? Well, let me tell you, it grows like crazy. This is another thing I was totally ignorant around, but I went and looked up some photos. Here is mustard. This is what it does. It grows and it absolutely takes over the countryside. You can see tinges of yellow in the distance. You can see a person there wandering around in this. You can barely see them. It creates its own little ecosystem. These things can grow up to 8, 15 feet tall. You can see the tallest one here having a height pretty high. If you can see that up on the screen. This plant grows so big and so expansively, it creates its own little ecosystem. You know, even birds come and nest among the branches of this thing. It's like a tree. It gives shade for all kinds of animals and space to birds that nest among us. So the kingdom is small, or appears that way. But Jesus says, let's not come into the time of judgment yet. This thing is growing big. It's going to grow. Watch, it's just like a mustard seed. And think of this, just inside this small little thing, already within it contains the full potential of the whole thing. It's already there. It only needs to be given its time to grow. You know what else it's like? It's like sourdough bread. Okay, it's like leaven that gets worked into the whole. Now, Kat is the baker in our family. I'm the guy who starts the thing and then I get sick of it really quickly. And Kat is the good soldier who keeps going. So Kat, she cooks sourdough bread for our family. It's fantastic. So I know how it works. You get this little thing, the leaven, which is in that jar, and you mix a small amount of it in with your dough and water and salt. And what started as a really small thing works its way into the whole thing. And so the whole thing is leavened and grows into a beautiful, tasty loaf of bread. The kingdom of heaven is a little bit like that. No matter how long it takes, the whole thing is affected. I would say that the dough, the lump of dough Jesus is talking about here is, again, the world. Just like the field is the world. And all the wheat and the weeds are the people in it. Don't harvest yet. Wait, says the owner. It is a bit like mustard seed growing into a big plant, bush that takes over the countryside. LA, apparently mustard has gone there, and they're terrified because it's taking over the countryside. Maybe the closest example for us today would be blackberry bush here in Adelaide, where it just goes crazy. It's hard to get rid of. It's like a loaf of bread where the leaven fills the whole thing. And I want us to take a moment just to consider this for a moment and take it in. Think about Jesus sharing these words 2,000 years ago. This one guy's got 12 people following him, plus some people that want some fishes and bread multiplied. Okay, decent amount of people, sure. But comparative to the world, very small. I mean, this is the spot where he's talking. Okay, and he's saying that it's like a mustard seed. It's like the bread example. For us looking back, just think about this. It's unfathomable, really, to consider that this thing has gone around the world. Where has the kingdom yet to spread? Isn't it just like the mustard seed? Isn't it just like the leaven in the bread? So if you're wondering whether you can take Jesus' words seriously, you can. He seemed to know what he was talking about. Let me tell you where it's growing like mustard. Here in African countries and here in China and also in the Middle East. You know, in Afghanistan and Iran, Christianity, according to Pew Research, is growing at 5 to 10% year on year. China, 7 to 10%. This is amazing. Even in these incredibly terrifying places to be a Christian, it's growing. In Nigeria, 10% year on year. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it incredible? What do we hear all the time? Christianity is on its decline. And it is. Where? Here. Yeah. Australia, New Zealand, Canada, France, and the UK. They're the top five. We made the top five. 2 to 4% decrease year on year. Okay. 10% growth everywhere else. Where we think, oh, don't go there. You know, there's an opportunity coming up in the life of our church to support and partner with another missionary. You know where he's going? He's going here. Terrifying place. We're so terrifying we can't share his name. We're going to know him as M if we approve as a church to support him in his work. What a great opportunity, though. How great to be praying for him as he goes. How great to be financially supporting him as he goes. How great an opportunity to trust in the words of Jesus that say, hey, it's just like bread and leaven. This thing is going to leaven the whole lump. The leaven is still working its way through the whole lump. You know, 2.1 billion Christians in 2010 who identify as being Christian. By 2050, that number, according to Pew Research, is going to be 3 billion. 3 billion. That's some substantial growth. I asked a mathematician this morning in the church service, thankfully he was our treasurer, what is that growth? Because I don't know. And he said 4.44% growth. Look, I'd love it to be 8%, but I'll take 4.44%. God's not done. Look around the world. There are places where you think, no, they're definitely wheat. Time is going to tell. Time's going to tell. We might think we're a Christian nation. Time's going to tell. Who knows what China is going to be at 2050? I wouldn't be surprised if after the leaven has worked its way through the whole of the dough and mustard has created shade around the whole globe, then the time of the harvest is going to be here. And we're going to have to ask that question, or it'll be made for us, where's the wheat and where's the wheat? So big application, be excited about what's happening around the world. Get involved with it, support ministry, or go yourself. Have you thought it could be you? You could actually be a part of this. Why not be yourself? But also for us, and I think this is where the difficult part of the sermon comes, and even the Word of God as we really rub against it, and that is, what about us? What about us as individuals? Jesus is really clear. There are wheat and there are weeds. Wheat or weeds. This is implicit in the whole thing and we can't ignore it. Now, I'd love not to talk about it, but I have to ask, am I wheat or am I weed? Am I going to be gathered into the barn or am I darnel? I look like wheat. I'm saying the right things, but the fruit of my life shows differently. Did you notice that when we read the passage, Jesus had a little discernment tool that we could use that helps us tell which is which? As similar as they may look, Jesus explains the fruit of being this or that. Yeah, so what, or should I say, whom is gathered for the fire? Well, Jesus, let's listen to Jesus' words. He says, the Son of Man will send out his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Friends, I got to sort of slow down and just share this, the weight of this, the weight of Jesus' words here. This is why I care so much. This is why Mike cares so much, because we believe Jesus is telling the truth here. This is so why I care so much about what is tearing the Anglican Church apart globally. And here in Adelaide. On that day, there will be those in and there will be those out. Whatever you think about anything else, Jesus is pretty clear here. There will be those shining like the sun and there's going to be those weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Jesus is speaking about salvation in the kingdom and he's speaking about hell. And it really doesn't make any good sense not to talk about it or raise it, but to raise it with thoughtfulness and compassion and care. The visible difference, Jesus says, is whether your trust and faith in Jesus has been evidenced in the fruit of your life. Look at the words of Jesus. I have to ask myself, especially in my position, am I causing sin? Am I promoting sin? Am I seeing it and going, keep on with it? Or do I myself live it secretly, publicly? And you got to ask that of yourself as well. And you know, I just want us to be clear, I'm speaking as a sinful person, okay? I'm not on my high horse here. I'm down on the same level as all of us, knowing that on that final day, it's by grace and grace alone that I'll be saved. I know how the story ends. Jesus goes to the cross and he dies the death I deserve so that I can be made free, so that my sin could be forgiven and yours if you trust in Jesus. But there's a real difference between struggling against sin. Jesus' words are really interesting there, aren't they? Everything that causes sin and all that do evil. There's a difference between struggling against sin, relying on grace on the other hand, and being a cause of it, or in the present sense, just going on with it. You know, our church is being torn apart globally and here in Adelaide, and to an extent it will always be there, even in our church. We're right on the edge with all the rest. Are we weeds or wheat? The issue at play right now, I could talk about any sort of issue around the world. I could talk about greed. I could talk about marriages. I could talk about whatever. The issue on the table right now, which is a public issue, is the global issue of the blessing of same-sex marriages. And again, it's one of those things where I've just got to raise it and put it on the table because Jesus is really clear this is important. I invite you to look up at the screen and see the words of Jesus and just read them for yourself again. Take them in. Jesus will weed out of his kingdom what or whom? Those causing sin or doing evil. The struggle against sin in our church has become one which is turning to the blessing of it. This is why I care so much. Now, what's our posture going to be? Not one of just pure condemnation. No, I think it's got to be one that cares for people who come in through these doors. It says, welcome, here's a seat. Come to Jesus who would have you come as you are, but he won't leave you as you are. He wants the fruit that has been planted in our hearts to take fruit, to come to full maturity, so that we would be those who are found in his kingdom, so that you would be one of those found in his kingdom, so that I would be. Here's what I want us to do. Figure out what wheat looks like. Figure out what wheat looks like and press into that. If you're not sure what it looks like, read Jesus' words in the Gospels, read the New Testament. It's all about what wheat looks like. Get to know God's word and figure that out. The second thing I want us to do is be able to discern between wheat and bearded darnel. Okay? They look very similar. But the difference is eternal. Now, here's what I don't want. I don't want us to be so focused on bearded darnel and weeds that that's all we talk about. No, I'd rather be talking about the kingdom and talking about what God is doing around the world. You know, so much so that I probably would have preferred to put my second point about how amazing the gospel growth is around the world right now. I don't want to be, as a church, one that gets dragged into politics or bureaucracy. I would love it if instead I'd love us to get on board with the gospel and its growth and to be concerned with that. It's growing. It's growing out there. It's growing here. It's like mustard seed around the world. You know, we had someone come along to Taste and See who is from Iran, and she was just telling us how pleased she was to be here, how excited she was to be around these people and to hear about Jesus freely. God is bringing people to us as well. You know, it is like a global field where there are stalks ready to ripen and put forth fruit, but we need to be ready to pray, ready to support the workers in the field. We need to be ready to go ourselves, and we need to be a little bit discerning so that we know what's wheat, what's a weed, and how we can get on board with the harvest, which right now is still working its way through the whole world. Will you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom and discernment. We pray that you'd give us that wisdom and discernment along with a healthy, healthy dose of love and care. And Lord, we would be concerned about our own heart, even as much as we're concerned with what's happening around the world. Lord, we pray that on that final day, each one of us though warned by Jesus' words here, would find ourselves in his kingdom, having heard his words. He said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. We pray that that might be us, that we might be an encouragement to one another. And Lord, we might freely be in the world, contributing to this harvest under you and with you in partnership with what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to stand and sing next a song very much about troubles and anxieties and doubts, but through that it can still be well with our soul. I'm glad I'm wheat and not a weed because of what Jesus has done for me, and we can all celebrate in that as we sing, "It's Well With My Soul."